We are the 1, 2, 3 Sore Losers. What up, everybody? A very happy Thanksgiving to you guys. I am Lunchbox. I know the most about sports, so I'll give you the sports facts, my sports opinions, and because I'm pretty much a sports genius. But today, Eddie, say hello. Ray, say hello. They aren't here, so we have special guest, my dad. We also call him Toolbox. He's known around the world, so welcome in my dad, everybody. Clap it up.
Thank you.
How are you feeling?
It's a great day.
Well, how do you feel about being on? I mean, you're like a featured guest on the Sore Losers podcast who gets like 300 people to listen every day.
I thought you told me I was going to be the star.
Well, you are. That's what I'm saying. You're like, okay. you're the highlight. It's pretty awesome. So you're not going to hear music. We don't have any of that. We need Ray for that. He usually runs the board, or
sing.
Eddie. You can sing, yes.
Okay.
Go for it.
I'll think about it.
Okay. So we'd like to start the show off with a little game we call, you know how to do this? It's where we yell, would you rather, okay? We start the show off with a little game we call, would you rather? And we're going to do Thanksgiving edition. No one's going to listen to this, but on Thanksgiving, would you rather have turkey or would you rather have ham?
Oh, man. I got to have ham. Ham's my favorite all-time meat, so. But smoked turkey is great. But if I had to do without one, it'd be turkey. I got to have ham.
I'm with you 100%. Turkey is overrated. Smoked turkey is delicious, but a regular turkey in the oven, I'm just like, it's okay. If you're throwing some barbecue sauce on it,
no,
that's
gravy.
Fine.
Gravy's good on it.
I don't like gravy because it looks weird, and I don't really know if I've eaten gravy, but I love me some ham. I love me some ham. And I know ham is more of a Christmas meat. I guess people really have it at Christmas dinner.
No,
but
ham is anytime, anywhere, any place.
There you go. That's what I like. I love the ham. So there it is. Put it up on the Twitter page, Sore Loser Show. Would you rather have turkey or ham on your Thanksgiving? I mean, this is Thanksgiving, so I can't believe we're doing a podcast. So let's get right down to it. And the most unbeatable college team of all time, Duke, loses after 5 games.
After Kentucky, I thought they were unbelievable, but it just shows you if you get a team with some older guys, men versus boys is a different game.
And also, I think a big factor last night when they played in the Maui Invitational Championship, Duke played a team with depth. Gonzaga has a lot of depth, and so those Duke guys, you know, they're playing 5-on-5, and then when they go to the bench, it's like, uh-oh, and they get tired. They can't play the whole game, and Gonzaga was just bringing guys in. And they weren't intimidated. Gonzaga has size. They have upperclassmen, like you said. And we learned, hey, Dukes, okay, they can be beat. They play a little zone, make them shoot over you, and
everybody can be beat. But I was agreeing with them after I watched them do what they did, because you hear the hype of Kentucky, but Kentucky is skinny. And I thought there was a few teams that would probably give Duke a little bit of trouble because they have bigger guys, but I didn't know Gonzaga was it.
Yeah, and I love Jay Williams, the former Duke guard. I mean, he comes out yesterday before the game and he says if Duke played Cleveland tonight, they would have a shot at beating Cleveland. Like,
no way.
Jay Williams, shut up. Like, there is no chance. Like, that's saying like Alabama could beat Buffalo. College teams cannot beat pro teams. They are grown men. There is a huge difference of being the top three players coming out of high school and the top three players in the NBA. I mean, the cream of the crop, like, even if you're a top three player coming out of high school, doesn't mean you're going to the NBA. And they're so much more mature. The NBA is so much different. They would have no shot. And then they go out and lose to Gonzaga. And so I know Jay Williams is a Duke guy, and you want to act like, oh, Duke, I love Duke. But he's just that's ridiculous.
Some people just put out things just so you talk about them. Whether it's good, bad, or you think they're idiots or they're great, you just want them to be mention your name, and that's what that was.
And it was that. I mean, because then you look at Cleveland last night. It was the big homecoming for LeBron. He goes back to Cleveland. He's a Laker. Boom. And it's the question, are they going to boo? Are they going to cheer? If you're a fan, Mr. My Dad, and you are a Cleveland fan, and you're in the stadium, what would you have done last night when they announced LeBron James's name?
Oh, I'd probably cheer, but I'm not a big vocal either way. But hey, he gave us a championship. Cleveland's been dying for one forever, so. And it was just a coincidence that like 3 days before they show up there, LeBron said the reason he left is because of the owner and nobody ever likes the owner. So that sort of got the fans on his side too. So I would have cheered. It would have been fine with me.
And I love, and you're right, and Cleveland, you did an excellent job. I from what I saw, it was mostly cheering. There were signs that said, thank you, LeBron, for the championship. And that's how you should have paid respects to LeBron. He brought you the championship. That's exactly what you wanted. And what else? I mean, look, he made a decision. The team wasn't going to be very good, but they played their hearts out last night. I don't know how. Watching last night, I'm like, how are they 2-14? But I think they got really up for that game against LeBron because they wanted to try to prove a point, and they'll still just stink the rest of the year. But yes, LeBron had to bail them out at the end. And once again, that's a problem with LeBron, is at the end of games, once again, he had a chance to seal the game at the free throw line. Two free throws to put him up four, and he only hits one of two and keeps Cleveland in the game. Why can they not hit free throws?
Well, LeBron's, I don't consider him a great shooter. He's just a scorer, and I don't think it has anything to do with being nervous. He's been there his whole life, but I just don't think he's, quote, a great shooter. He's just a scorer.
Right. He's used to getting to the rim.
Yeah.
But that's why we had this discussion last night. My dad, myself, and my buddy Forrest were over at the house, and we talked for hours, and we got on sports, and we were talking about the best basketball players of all time, and everybody wants to put LeBron ahead of Jordan. My whole thing is, if Jordan is at the free throw line at that point, Jordan doesn't miss those free throws.
Oh,
I mean,
he probably did
sometimes.
Our memories are clouded. He lost games when he could have won them, but I just think LeBron's puts you in that position to be there, and a lot of players aren't there, so you don't know. And I think LeBron's the second best player ever. I'm clouded because I grew up I was younger. I didn't grow up watching Jordan.
What was it that set Jordan apart? Like, explain from your eyes that saw some of the older generation. You were around Magic, Bird. You saw Kareem. You saw them all. And
he just seemed to have that fire. I mean, he just, the look in his eyes, you knew he was a killer. I mean, that's, Kobe sort of had it, but I'm not really a Kobe fan, but Jordan just, and I mean, it changed basketball, because when Jordan was first coming in, it was just mug the guy who had the ball. And once they saw the excitement, Jordan, you know, because they mugged Jordan the first 10 years of his career. And after that, they slowly started changing. You couldn't touch them here, there. And I think they've gone too far, because it's just an offensive game. It's a three-point game, which I'm not real thrilled about. They've changed everything. Here's the old man talking.
But right. And so I look at Kobe, and he would get hurt all the time in the modern NBA, where you can't touch anybody. And so I always would say, he would have never lasted. I mean, you can say that, but you have no idea.
Yeah, you
but
don't know.
If he got hurt now, like all the time, I was like, how would he have handled Rodman and Laimbeer? When you're driving to the hoop, they put you on your butt. And if there was no blood, and now they call the softest technicals and flagrants I have ever seen. You barely touch a guy, and they're like, oh, we got to go to the monitor to see if it's a flagrant foul.
Well, I mean, I liked some of it, because, I mean, it was just
street
fight before. And I like the creativity of the game now, but they have gone a little too far. It's just like in football with the defensive backs. If you breathe on a receiver, it's pass interference. I mean, it's like 7-on-7. But, I mean, I do like the offense, so I can't complain. But I do think they've gone a little too far.
Do you think a defensive team can win in the NFL anymore? Do you, like...
You got to have some defense, but
like
no.
The Bears,
no.
Like
no,
the Bears, where
no,
they rely
no,
on their defense.
No. You got to have offense. That's just the fact.
Right. I think the NFL, I love the – I'm a Bears fan. They're going to be playing Detroit today. You may be watching it already. It may already happen, but that's what I love how they're building their defense, but I feel like they rely too much on their defense in the modern NFL, where scoring is a – priority. And if you're playing the Saints, I don't think the Bears defense can shut down the Saints.
Nobody can.
I think the Saints score minimum 24 points a game, and if the Bears can't get there, I mean, your defense is good, but you got to outscore the Saints. They're going to score 24, 28 a game, even
with
your great defense.
The Rams, you're going to have to outscore those teams. I mean, and they throw some sort of defense up there, but that's not what they're known for. They're known for their offense, and that's what the NFL has become. That's what the NFL has to copy fantasy. I mean, nobody has fantasy defense. I don't play fantasy. I know they have a fantasy defense, but that's not what they're counting on.
Right, that's not what you're not drafting a defense high because you're excited about a defense. You're drafting Antonio Brown, you know, Todd Gurley, because they're going to throw the stats up, and it's so exciting. And that's where the modern fan of sports, they have a hard time saying who's a good player and who's not a good player, because they see fantasy numbers and they think, oh, that guy's amazing, he's so good. And then you watch the real games and it's like they're just getting junk. They don't look good. They're just getting junk yards and touchdowns, and it makes it look good because their fantasy numbers are good.
That and SportsCenter.
SportsCenter, yeah.
But I will admit that's where I get a lot of my information.
Is SportsCenter?
Yes.
But you read more now.
I like to read the paper.
You still get the paper?
Old time.
Okay. Do you read it every single day?
Yes.
Because that is...
Pretty much.
What do you... Is the paper up to date, though? I feel like it would
No. I don't like it nearly as much anymore. I get the Statesman, and they switched the printing over to San Antonio, so they print it up early in the night, so you don't get those day's scores. You get the night before scores.
That it's that old?
Yes.
Oh, that's bad. That's bad. I don't know the last time I've picked up a newspaper to read articles. But I go on the websites and I go online, and I hate, you know, websites. Oh, subscribe for however much. I'm like, oh, it's so annoying, but it's going that way.
Yes.
Have you considered giving up the newspaper?
Because I've sort of retired. How I started my day out is I'd get in my truck, I'd head to the job, I'd stop, I'd get me a roll, and I'd read the sports page. Now, not so much, but I still read it and I still get it. But I will tell you one thing: I am shocked. When they told me Sports Illustrated was coming out biweekly, I thought, oh, great.
It's going to be so late. The information is going to be so late. I'm with you. Keep going.
Now that I get it every 2 weeks, I think it's great because they aren't covering the topic of the week like the champion. You know, they do, but they also have other articles and go into a lot bigger depth about different things. They did one on Davis of the Orioles.
Chris Davis, first baseman, who signed a big old, like, $100-something million contract.
They did one on some company that's paying minor league players. They got sued by one. I didn't know anything about it, but where they give a minor leaguer a lump sum payment of some $200,000, $300,000, betting that they're going to make it big in the pros. And for like a 10% or whatever they work out.
It's like
out.
An investment fund.
Yes, where the player will get money up front, but they give up, if they hit it big, they're going to give up 10% of their salary later on. Which, I mean, things I never knew about, even though I'm not saying I'm that smart, but it's I like it. I really do like the biweekly.
It goes in. It's more in depth.
By the way, I'll take a free subscription.
Yeah, Sports Illustrated, if you're listening, if you want to send him, just hit us up on Sore Loser Show on Twitter, and I can get you his address because, I mean, we just gave you some free plug to our 300 listeners.
But I really do like it.
No, it's great. I'm with you. When they first said, oh, we're only going to do it every other week, I was like, how are we going to – I mean, the Super Bowl happens and we're not going to get it for 2 weeks after that? Like, that's so lame. Or leading up to the Super Bowl, we may miss the week leading up to the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
But now they do more in-depth pieces and you learn more about these players. And the Chris Davis one, if you guys have not read it, it is – you think players don't care that they're having a bad year.
Eddie.
They go home and they live with this. So when you're saying they suck and you're yelling at them from the stands like, you bum, get out of here, they take it to heart. And this Chris Davis article was just, I mean, for me, it was gut-wrenching because I was like, this poor dude eats it and he just goes home and that's all he can think about. And his poor family, because he's just depressed. And I understand he's making
a... I can't believe he put it out there to everybody, but more power to him.
He owned it. In the Orioles, he was on pace to have the worst season by any hitter of all time in Major League Baseball. And they offered to sit him down so he would not have enough at-bats to qualify for all the categories. And he said, listen, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to play baseball, and if I suck... then I suck, and I'm going to wear it. And that's what I loved. I thought that was pretty cool that he didn't run from it. Because a lot of guys, their egos would get in the way and be like, no, yeah, I'll sit down. I don't want to be the worst baseball player to ever play the game.
Every time they mention my name, that's what they bring up. Yep, it'd be tough. But, I mean, $30 million or whatever a year, I could probably live with it. Even though you get your feelings hurt.
You have to get your feelings hurt. Everybody, listen, no matter who you are, you can be the richest professional athlete. Look at Kevin Durant. He gets his feelings hurt all the time. Now, that is one thing social media has brought out, is you get to see how sensitive these guys are. Back in the day, you had no idea that these athletes got their feelings hurt so much and they were so petty. Like Durant having
Not sure they got hurt as much back then. I mean, a guy yelling in the stands, but when people are on your social media just ripping you all the time and plus giving you praise, they've had praise their whole life. So when someone finally criticizes them, a teammate or whatever, it probably does. Some are a little more sensitive. I mean, I don't know. I think the Durant thing and Green is silly, but that's whatever.
But I'm talking about Durant. He had fake Twitter accounts to go on there and defend Kevin Durant to people that were hating on him.
Well, that's just stupid.
That's sensitivity, yes, right? I mean, that's sensitive.
I don't understand that. I mean, if you're in that, I would just think you'd get used to it.
Or you just get off social media.
Yeah.
That's what I mean.
I wouldn't read it if it hurt my feelings.
Right. If it's going to ruin your day, it's going to put you in a bad mood, just get off of it.
Yeah, just don't read it.
And
then it's not happening.
It's not the real world. I mean, and everybody can get on the keyboard and type these mean comments because I'm guilty of it. I get on there and I rip, oh, my God, you're terrible, or fire Jason Garrett or fire.
I rip him all the time.
Yeah, my dad gets on there and has fake accounts and he tells me how terrible Lunchbox is and how terrible the Sore Losers podcast is, even though we're doing it.
I say Eddie's great, though.
Yeah, I wonder if that's my question. You think Eddie and Ray will listen back to this one?
Yes.
I hope they do, because I hope they know that, hey, you know, it's Thanksgiving and we wanted to, my brother, he was supposed to come do this, but then he's a no-show.
Well, he doesn't know anything about sports either.
Exactly. So let's talk about the games today. So you have the Bears traveling to the Lions. Thanksgiving, Lions always get the home game on Thanksgiving. Do you like having the Lions and Cowboys always on Thanksgiving?
Yeah, tradition.
Okay.
I mean, why would you? Because I think it takes us a special knowledge on how to play the Thursday afternoon game. And I mean, we've always watched it, whatever. Some years are good, some years are bad. I mean, I don't know how you'd make a choice of who you'd put on there.
Yes, and
the fans are used to it in those cities. I mean, I don't know if you went to Jacksonville, would they want to give up their Thanksgiving dinner for a football game?
I don't think Jacksonville goes to the games anyway. There's not very many people in the seats.
That's why I picked Jacksonville.
That's why you picked Jacksonville this week?
No. That's why I picked them as the game.
Oh.
Because I figure New England or Pittsburgh, they're going to show up. Whatever.
That's a great point. And so, yes, the Bears are going to be without Trubisky, which worries me a little bit, but I feel like Chase Daniels, he was in Kansas
City. What happened
to him? What?
I missed that.
Yeah, Trubisky hurt his throwing shoulder.
Oh, okay.
So he's out. Oh. So Chase Daniels.
Wait a minute, I want to change my pick, Keith.
We're in a pick'em league, and Keith runs the board where we had to pick every game against the spread. And my dad took the Cowboys. He took the Bears. And so Trubisky's out with a bruised shoulder. He hurt it in the fourth quarter against the Vikings. Chase Daniels was in Kansas City as the backup quarterback. So he knows the system. He's athletic like Trubisky, can run around a little bit. But what's amazing is, in his career, he has made $26 million, and he's thrown one TD.
Really?
One TD.
Oof. Good job.
I mean, he is the most highly, but they say he's one of the better backup quarterbacks in the NFL, but I guess because he's never played, so how do you really know?
He's good at kissing ass.
I mean, he knows somebody. So he knows somebody because he got paid in New Orleans, he got paid in Kansas City, now he's getting paid in Chicago, and
damn.
That's a lot.
That's a lot.
And I have a, my whole thing is the Thursday, the home team is the team you pick, no matter what. That's what I've been doing. And, of course, I didn't do that this week. I took the Bears because the Bears have something to play for. The Lions have nothing to play for. They are out. Their season's over. They're not going to the playoffs. The Bears, just coming off that emotional win against the Vikings, they can. I feel like that emotion can keep them going today. Whew! Come on, Bears.
I picked all the favorites. I don't like to do that, but I.
And what do you think about the Cowboys? The Cowboys have their chance against.
Well,
the
if they don't do it, they're idiots because they should win the division now. There's Philadelphia's done. I think New York's been done, and now Washington without Smith. Even though I don't think he's great, but he's better than they're done. So.
Right, that's what I feel like the emotional, for Washington, the emotional letdown of being in the lead of your division and to see your starting quarterback, even though he hadn't been playing, I mean, your
offense. By the way, did you realize there were two gruesome injuries this week?
Oh, you're talking about Alex Smith.
Yes.
And you're talking about last night in basketball.
Yes.
Check Diallo of the Thunder.
Ugly.
Oh, my gosh. If you have not seen it and you don't want to see something gruesome, don't Google it. But it is – he goes up for a rebound and comes back, and his – I don't know if it was right leg or left leg was bent backwards underneath him. And it was – he had to go off on a stretcher. He was crawling around on the court. It was awful, awful to see. No, what's eerie is the Alex Smith injury was 33 years today to the day of Theismann. The final score was the same.
Oh, I didn't – oh, that's –
and I think it was happened at the same yard line I read or something like that. Like, that is so eerie, and you hope Alex Smith, I mean, with technology and the advancement of medical help.
Yeah, but he's older. So
he's older. That's the only problem. I hope for his sake he gets to come back.
Pretty much Theismann. He didn't really come back.
No, he never came back.
Yeah.
Well, but I think medical procedures weren't as good back then. Sort of like ACLs used to be.
Does he do the Tom Brady thing?
The Guerrero, the whatever the heck he does, his old trainer.
Yeah.
But Tom Brady looks old lately. He's been having a rough month.
Well, hey, it happens.
He's 41.
I mean, I've defied time, but most people can't.
And how old are you?
Or no, 63.
Comment. Oh, 63 years young. So, yes, this is it. The Cowboys, here's the crazy part. I'm going to tell you this right now. I'm in an eliminator. There's three people left in my eliminator. And we're talking big money, big money. We're talking over, I mean, a big payday, like a big payday. More than my first car cost. Let's put it that way. I can win.
And well, that ain't saying a whole lot.
Well, I know, but.
Okay, it's big.
Yes.
It's huge.
It's huge.
That's for you, Brett.
And I took the Cowboys as my eliminator this week. They are my pick to win. There's only three people left, so please, Cowboys, I am not a Cowboys fan, but all you Cowboys fans, when you're watching the game today, just be thinking of me in the back of your mind and be like, we need this for Lunchbox. We need this win. Eddie, I want you to cheer extra hard for your Cowboys today. I need Ezekiel Elliott to eat that cereal and eat that cereal.
Turn the sound up.
Yes, like, be loud. Cheer for them. Let's scream. And just please, give the ball to Ezekiel Elliott. Let him run. And that defense, please, do not let... pick off Colt McCoy twice. I need two interceptions from the Cowboys defense, and I feel like they're going to get it, and that is enough to win the game. That's all I care about. I picked them to cover the 7 points or 7.5, whatever it is, but I don't care about that. As long as the Cowboys win, I am going to be there.
Your eliminator, the points don't matter.
Right.
It's just a win.
Just a win. I am a diehard Cowboys fan today. Let's go, Cowboys. And then we got the Saints and the Falcons in New Orleans, and the Saints are favored by 13 points. The Saints are amazing.
I went with them. That's a lot of points, but I said, hell, how can you bet against them?
I mean, okay, we talk about this a lot. Career-wise, who do you think's had a better career, Aaron Rodgers or Drew Brees? Who would you rather be – like, who would you put – I mean, we'd like to rank, they're better than this, because everybody tries to compare Aaron Rodgers to Tom Brady.
They're probably comparable. I mean, what – they both got one Super Bowl. They both throw him for a bunch of yards. I mean, I like Breeze better. I think he's a better teammate. He's done a lot of Philip Rott.
Whatever, philanthropic. Yeah, we had charity work. We'll just call it charity work.
There you go. Yeah, that's we don't know that easier. Big word. I don't like big words. But yeah, so I mean, everyone talks good about him. Hell, I was listening to some radio show this week where they were saying that Rodgers' family, the fires in California affected him, and he never called them, and his brother's been calling him out, his dad called him out, and I'm like, ooh.
I know Aaron Rodgers said he was going to donate
$1
million.
See, I'm a good dad. My son put me on the radio for a day.
Yes, I did. That's right. But what's crazy is, yeah, because Aaron Rodgers is like estranged from his family, I believe. I believe he donated $1 million to the fund, but he didn't talk to his family
to see if they were all right. It's just bizarre to me.
I mean, I'm gonna looking this up right now. Keep talking about
it. They were talking about it on the radio, and you know, I know radios always tell the truth. Everybody always tells the truth. But I found that pretty bizarre.
Family feud continues. Aaron Rodgers' brother Jordan attacks Packers QB on Twitter.
Yeah, it was his own brother.
Wow.
Of course, we're going to attack Joe later on today because he didn't show up here.
Yeah, that's my brother. So a few hours after Aaron's tweet saying that, oh, we need to help and get money for the wildfires, his brother went on Twitter and said, please donate, spread awareness, and send love. But when your own mom is home is alone during the fires, car packed, ready to evacuate, and you miss the fundamental first stop of compassion, calling your parents to make sure they are safe, everything else just feels like an act.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh!
I told
that is so crazy, and that is so weird. Like even if you hate, like you're not on speaking terms with your parents, you think you would at least send a text and say, "Hey, is everything okay?" And you can end it at that. That's it.
Yeah, you don't have to follow through, but you could at least pretend you like him.
Because I feel like Aaron Rodgers' teammates, they all look like they hate him.
Well, that's what they were saying, that everyone they talk to after they leave the Packers, that they say Rodgers is a jerk. Now, I don't know. You know, we all have jerky moments, but when that many people say it, I tend to believe it.
That is so... I mean, that is unbelievable that his own brother called him out on Twitter. Like, that family rift, like, how does that happen so bad that you don't talk to him?
Of course you don't know. Maybe they ask him for money all the time, and he just said, you know, screw it, I'm not talking to you. But I don't know. We don't know all the specifics, but... It doesn't look good. I mean, if his teammates all talked highly of him, I might blame the family. Maybe, you know, we all have weird relatives. I won't name names.
Yes, we have weird. Everybody does. But that is, wow. But yes, so back to the Saints. I would take Drew Brees, too. I think he's a nicer guy. He seems like a better teammate. And I think he just looks, I feel like he's just.
Plus, he's from Austin.
That's a great point also. So, yes. And the Falcons, once again, another team today. They have nothing to play for. They just lost to the Browns, and they lost to the Cowboys when they thought they were getting their season rolling and they were going to make a run to the playoffs. Instead, it is season over. They are just playing out the string. And on Thanksgiving, all they care about is getting back home to have some turkey.
Of course, I don't even know if it really matters if you get to the playoffs because – it's the Rams, Saints,
Chiefs,
and Pittsburgh. I mean,
you don't think the Patriots?
I don't think so. I don't think they can score with them. I think Brady's hit the wall.
I'm worried about the Patriots. Also, I think Gronk not being healthy.
Yes,
Gronk has been just. I think this is his last year. Also.
Well, when Brady goes, he goes. But I guess we always count them out, but I just don't see it. I don't think they can score with those teams.
Yes. And I want to talk a little bit about Adrian Peterson, who's former Saint, former Viking, now a Redskin, going to play today. He got in trouble a few years ago for spanking his son with a belt excessively. And he came out in an interview this week and said, yes, I still hit my son with a belt. Like, why? Okay, if you do it.
Isn't his kid 21?
No. Well, I mean,
just teasing.
Oh, I was like, wait a minute. Is he really? I was
no, like, I'm teasing.
I said, I understand if you still do it. That's your.
How do you understand that?
No, I'm saying, why would you come out in the interview and admit that? After you've been charged, you were suspended for an entire year because he was charged, indicted by a grand jury on a felony charge for reckless or negligent injury to a child. And you come out and say you still hit your child with a belt. Do you not learn, Adrian Peterson? Like, are you just not that smart of a guy? Well, what is it? Like, I don't understand hitting your kid with a belt. I don't get it at all. I mean, what does hitting a four-year-old with a belt do?
I will put it this way. When I was growing up, my dad did use a belt, okay? And when I got married, talking to my wife, we're going to have kids, you know, I thought that's how it was done. And she goes, no, we don't use a belt. And now that I'm this age, I can look back and I understand why you don't use things. Because looking back, some days it might be a belt offense, and the next day it's not. I think you have a bad day. Okay, I'm going to whip that guy with a belt. And if you, I mean, I just think it's silly. There's easier ways, there are better ways to get your point across. I'm not saying my kids are the greatest, but they turned out pretty decent people, and we never used a belt. I could probably count on my hands, 10 fingers, how many times they even got a, quote, spanking.
Yeah.
There's just, now I think it's a lazy way to parent. And I think it's because you're in a bad mood.
You have a bad day, so you take it out on your kid.
Yeah, he said, I mean, we all were, you know, there was times you'd yell at them even. And it was just you having a bad day, whereas if you tended to like to use the belt, you probably would have used the belt, and you were just having a bad day. They really didn't do anything that bad.
Yeah, he said, the other day I had to discipline my son and spake him the other day with a belt. He said, there's different ways I discipline my kids. I didn't let that incident change me. That is a terrible.
Yeah.
What you should say is, hopefully you would realize, okay, that should change me. That should change me. Like, I messed up. I should change. Instead, you say, it didn't change me. And it looks so bad for you, Adrian Peterson. Like, yeah. I don't know how.
I think you're lazy.
Yes, it's just bad. And he said, my kids still love me. He goes, there's different situations where a child needs to be disciplined as far as time out, taking their toys away, making them take a nap.
Well, what did he do that deserved a belt? I mean, I would like to know what are a belt offense is and what is a taking a toy away offense.
And a go take a nap offense. I've never heard of the go take a nap.
No, I've never either.
I've heard go sit in your room. That's what you guys did with us, and I would get mad and bang my head against the headboard, things like that. I'd get real ticked.
Yes, he was a little. The other two didn't mind sitting in the room for 5 or 10 minutes. They'd come out and okay. He was a little crazy. Lunchbox was crazy as far as discipline.
Yes, very much so. So now that it's Thanksgiving, we've talked some sports. Talk about Thanksgiving memories. What does Thanksgiving bring back in your head as a kid, as an adult? What do you remember? Like, what are the memories you share?
My mom loved to cook. I remember I've got a brother that lives here with a family, and that's where we're going today. First time they've ever had a Thanksgiving, so we're going there with great trepidation. We're not sure if we're going to eat or not. But we'd always, my parents lived in Kansas, and hilarious, we'd pile into a minivan, my family and his family. He had two kids, we had three, so there, do the math. The two men, we would sit up front and drive, and all the wives and kids would be in the back, and they would laugh. We laughed because if one turned, they all had to turn. Let's see, one year we went up in the back of a pickup.
Yes,
our pickup.
We drove a pickup truck. My dad drove, and his brother sat in the front seat. Me, my brother, my sister, my aunt, and my mom all were in the bed of the pickup
and
truck.
And his two kids.
And it was freezing cold. Like,
well, it's usually not that cold, but we had a blizzard there in Kansas that weekend and on the way back, because we took out the window in the back and we put some sort of blow up thing that was supposed to, so you could have air and listen, talk. Well, it was so damn cold it wouldn't hold air.
So guys, just think about this. We drove and we just sat in the bed of a pickup truck. That is how awesome they were. I mean, that is how lax the laws were about child safety and seatbelts and things like that. We sat in the bed of a pickup truck the entire time from Austin, Texas to Topeka, Kansas and back. And we were so cold, and we would stick our hands up there in the front, and my dad and my uncle would be like, what, it's not that cold? And we were like purple when we pulled up to Grandma and Grandpa's.
We weren't male chauvinist pigs.
It was awesome. And I do remember.
I mean, that's what I remember. It's just family. Really, we celebrate Thanksgiving more than Christmas.
Yes, I remember Thanksgiving. One of the things I remember is we always play football. We always go out, throw the football, play a little family football game. We used to play it in Topeka in the backyard of Grandma and Grandpa's house. And then when they moved to Austin, we would play it in their backyard. I remember my uncle tearing his hamstring, trying to dive for a catch, going all out. And I remember
We're great athletes.
I mean, we were phenomenal. And my other uncle, Wyman, or cousin, I don't know what you call him. I guess he's a second cousin.
Yeah.
He was really good, competitive. We had so much. That's what I remember from Thanksgiving as a kid growing up. And so when we were walking into the studio this morning after I did the turkey trot, my dad goes, don't worry, Uncle Ken, he's looking for a pump to pump up that football, and he found one. Game on. And so that's the things I look forward to on Thanksgiving, is hanging out with family. The food's great, but I love the games and playing the football. And the one thing, there is one Thanksgiving I remember, I had an allergic reaction, and I swelled up. And I had hives all over my body. I was so swollen, I couldn't even eat. I laid on my grandparents' couch when they lived here in Austin, and everybody else ate. I could not even put my shoes on. My feet were so swollen. What a terrible Thanksgiving.
Well, I remember when we had our great aunts and great grandparents there, and we'd play a little card game. It was called 31. I don't know. You try and get the ace and face card of one suit, whatever. But if you were the lowest hand as you went around the table, when someone knocked, you'd have to pay a nickel. And my great aunt, who was probably in her late 80s, would always accuse somebody of cheating. It was hilarious. And my uncle would, there'd be an empty can sitting on the table, and he'd always reach over and sort of knock it in her lap, even though it was empty, but she'd always jump a mile high. That's what I find. I mean, just being with family and having fun.
That's it. That's Thanksgiving. And look, I mean, we came up, we did this podcast. Hopefully you enjoyed it. I mean, I don't know. I didn't do much prep for it because, like I said, I was hanging out with family.
He knew I could carry the show.
I knew you could carry the show. I was hanging out with family and friends yesterday, last night, and I was just like, hey, do you want to do the podcast? And I thought it'd be cool, something to share with my dad, because this is what I do for a living, and it's fun. And
we did it our whole lives, just sit around, argue about sports anyway.
Right, and so you might as well come in here and argue about sports, and it's just so much fun. And so I just want to say thank you to my dad. And yes, hopefully everybody has a wonderful Thanksgiving. Some of you guys went out and did the turkey trot. I did the turkey trot by myself. It was fun. I loved it. Have a great day. Enjoy your Thanksgiving. Hopefully you listen to this. I have no idea if anybody's even going to listen to this. No idea. But we really do appreciate it. And
yeah. Sports Illustrated, I'll call you out again.
Yeah, make sure you get them that free subscription. Hit us up on the Twitter page, Sore Loser Show on Twitter. Happy Thanksgiving. Gobble, gobble, gobble. We're out of here. Go Bears. Remember, let's go Cowboys. I need a Cowboys victory. And, yeah, anything else you want to say?
Happy Thanksgiving. And I've got to hang with River for 2 days now.
And do you want to come back tomorrow with your son, your other son?
Are you sure he's coming?
He said he was.
Okay, well, if he's coming, I'll come.
All right, we're out of here.